the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies. But a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix and star drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
A is for ABC Warriors. Comic. To you.
Now, a lot of comic fans would want you to choose between whether you're Marvel or DC. I frankly think that what you should be asking is whether or not you're 2000 AD. And I am very clearly on the 2000 AD side. The Galaxy's Greatest Comic came out in 1977, and the ABC Warriors has been part of its continuing lineup since, remarkably, 1979.
Yeah, it's all the time written by its creator, Pat Mills.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, in terms of art, the ABC Warriors has pretty much had every, you know, all the greats, all the 2000 AD greats have been on our duty at some point or another. You know, everyone from Dave Gibbons through Mike McMahon through to people like...
Esquerra's
done it.
Flint, Beasley.
Yeah, Simon Beasley, whose name was basically made pretty much by his take on the ABC Warriors. So you name it, everyone's been doing it because it's just always been there. It pops up and down, but it's always a joy and just one of those great stories that just always seems to keep giving. You know, it matures and it changes over time. There's been retcons and but the core of the group and the core of the story remains the same really throughout.
Yeah, I mean, there's usually at any one time seven members, a magnificent seven at any one time, but you've got a core group of five war robots, really, haven't you?
Yeah. So the origin story of the ABC Warriors is that they were designed as part of a, well, basically war in the future after the catastrophic Vulcan War, which in 2000 AD's kind of timeline was pretty much World War III. War became something that was waged by robots because it was too terrible for humans.
Well, this is sort of it begins in the Vulcan War, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and this is a good example of what Pat Mills did at 2000 AD. I mean, apart from being, you know, apart from starting 2000 AD and being its first editor, you know, as a writer. Even if he was sort of kind of assigned something or sort of it was like, okay, we're going to go with this one crazy idea, he will mine that idea for every sort of little kind of grain that it's worth, won't he? I mean, because it's like the whole idea of the Vulcans was sort of just something which was dreamt up for the whole like invasion storyline. Which is kind of like a what if the Russians invaded the United Kingdom storyline.
Yeah.
But he kept going back to it. You know, the Vulcan War was referenced in the sort of progenitor of ABC Warriors, you know, the Roebusters, where we first meet Hammerstein. And also
Rojals.
Latterly, you know, people who joined the ABC Warriors later, like you say, you know, Rojors and Mech Quake.
Mm-hmm.
So, But you know, so in that you get a story called Hammerstein's. You put, so Robert, are you a Hammerstein or a Hammerstein man?
Hammerstein, I think.
Hammerstein.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, you know, the Rojals and Hammerstein kind of the possibly the worst pun in the history of comic book puns.
Sorry, you get a story called Hammerstein's War Memoirs, which sort of talks about how the Hammersteins were the first ABC Warriors created, basically, and he was a sort of the prototype of the Mark III model. After there had been problems with the first two batches of Hammersteins, the first ones were a tiny bit too warlike; it just killed every human, not much discrimination. And the second ones were too, you know, respected human life too much, and were basically a load of hippies that had to be killed. You had. So Hammerstein was the first of a new breed, the first proper ABC warrior. You know, there's just this a throwaway story in Roadbusters, but then he sort of took this idea of warrior robots. But you know, confusing bit. So chronologically, this takes place, but at least the first ABC warrior stories take place before Roadbusters. But you know, it's sort of, and then can sort of continue on after. So it can sometimes be difficult to wrap your head around how this sort of twists and sort of combines with other 2000 AD storylines like Nemesis the Warlock. So.
Well, you know, 2000 AD has always been very good at sort of intermingling their characters and having sort of guest pop-ups all over the place. I mean, at one point, Hammerstein popped up in Judge Dredd. Interestingly enough, of course, a version of the Hammerstein head, if you like, the head and body of Hammerstein actually appeared as an unnamed protagonist in the Stallone Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah, in that he's out in the cursed earth, isn't he, with the Angel Gang? So, yeah, it's just a sort of in that it's just a bit of fan service as someone to provide a bit of a fight for Judge Dredd.
Yeah, it's a nice little nod, but you know, again, it sort of shows the way the ABC Warriors does sort of mix and match into other stories. I mean, obviously, of course, the main one, I guess, would be Nemesis the Warlock, where the two strands intertwined pretty much to the point where the ABC Warriors would guest in Nemesis stories and vice versa.
Yeah, well, I mean, after that first, after the first iteration of the ABC Warriors, they disband, and Hammerstein joins Roadbusters for a bit, and then the ABC Warriors are reformed by Nemesis the Warlock in the future. So I think we should probably talk about our sort of our main heroes, though.
Yeah, if we're talking ABC Warriors, we need to talk about Hammerstein. He's the force for good in the whole group. He as we mentioned previously, he's a Mark III, which means he can he, well, he's basically designed to be the best of both worlds. So while he's a warrior, he's also compassionate. He's been given the ability. He's been given a conscience. He's been given the ability to empathize. So while he's a soldier, he's also he's the eternal good guy, basically. Which kind of makes for some interesting tensions between him and some of the more morally challenged members of the group, shall we say?
Yeah, you've got members of the group who are, well, either more towards the evil stroke chaotic side, and they tend to not sort of it some or it could just be that, you know, it's just his lack of sense of humor is in itself funny at times.
Yeah, absolutely. But you certainly get the feeling that, well, for example, the wizard Deadlock is always sort of poking at him to try and sort of nudge him away from the path of good into the slightly more chaotic side of things. And yeah, that's something that you see going through this areas, you know, this whole notion of trying to make Hammerstein less of a sort of just generic good guy and into a character with a little bit more nuance and a little bit more, you know, some grey areas in there.
Well, he even gets romances at certain times.
He does, yeah. One of the classic stories, the Black Hole, which was kind of their first, the ABC Warriors first meet up with with Nemesis the Warlock. He has a romance with a character called Terry, who's a human who believes herself to be a robot. And yeah, she hero worships Hammerstein quite massively, really.
Yeah, to the point where she believes she is pregnant with his child.
Now, ain't that that's an interesting twist?
Yeah, and you know, they talk about settling down together, and Hammerstein talks about getting his equipment modified to allow for that kind of thing, but it's not to be.
Sadly not. Hammerstein is, you know, he's the heart of the group, but around him there are other characters. We mentioned Deadlock, the kind of, I guess you call him the sort of polar opposite to Hammerstein. He's kind of not even really, you can't really even call him evil. He's just, you know, he's the anti-order, if you like.
Yeah, he's a servant of the Chaos religion. Mm. Chaos.
Yes. Yeah.
And he has, it's this thing you get both in Nemesis and in ABC Warriors, is this weird sort of mix of technology and magic.
Mm, definitely.
You know, so he has powers which allow him to astrally project and also to reform his body if it's damaged or destroyed.
Mm.
And you know, he's got an Elric style sort of soul sucking sword called Excalibur, and you know, and he can also do things like summon demons and raise the dead.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's pretty good going for a robot, really. Some of the other ABC Warriors have again that sort of interesting moral grey area. Colonel Blackblood is basically an ex-Volgan who's kind of got this whole sort of Colonel Kurtz thing going on, where he's basically, you know, he'll quite cheerfully drink the oil of fallen ABC Warriors, and he's kind of brought in as part of the original group as well, just because he's such an amazing, you know, he's one of the best fighters there is.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because he's forcibly inducted into the ABC Warriors. He never wanted to join the ABC Warriors. Mm. The first ABC Warrior mission is to take down Blackblood, you know, and they do. And then he's reprogrammed allegedly to make him, you know, on their side. But it's interesting just the limits of that programming, because his core program is clearly to be a duplicitous, backstabbing son of a gun. Mm. You know, and he does that. He consistently sort of backstabs and betrays Hammerstein and the whole group.
Mm.
But if there's one character he hates above all others, it's Joe Pineapples.
Yeah, and Joe Pineapples is a very, very interesting character. He's the greatest sniper ever, and very much starts off as this cool, literally monosyllabic kind of character who only speaks in these little code fragments. But as time goes on, you know, because he's so good, he becomes more and more sort of bored and alienated by the whole thing, to the point where he starts cross-dressing.
Yeah, now this is one of those sort of... Pat Mills has always been one of those comics authors who has that kind of punk attitude, who has that kind of, you know, subversive thing going on. So, you know, he creates this character who becomes a fan favourite, who becomes a sort of, oh, he's the coolest, we love Joe Pineapples. So he feels the need to subvert that character, I think, and sort of be and work against that call. So, so yeah, so he has this fetish for women's underwear. So there we go.
And it's kind of interesting. At one point, Black Bullard actually gets hold of Polaroids of Joe Pineapples in one of his costumes and uses it to blackmail him. So there you go. There's always this sense of, you know, the ABC Warriors are never a group that kind of have, you know, one. They never really act as one. There's always kind of other plots and other ideas going on, and there's always there's always other motivations there, which again just makes it into that much more of an interesting read. The fact that they are there are internal factions, and they're constant, you know, they're as likely to be fighting each other as they are to be fighting an external enemy or you know, the mission at hand. And I think that's partly what leads them to be A, so interesting, and B, so enduring. You know, there's just so, if interest in a story is led by conflict, then the ABC Warriors are just constantly fighting. You know, if they can't find an enemy to fight against, then they'll battle themselves.
Yeah, and I guess the one constant with ABC Warriors, and it's and maybe it's just the constant in Pat Mills' work, is just how cynical the whole thing is about how rubbish humans are. Because initially, you know, they're constrained by their programming, but there's the sense that, you know, the real sort of evil folks in the universe are the humans. And even when they're fighting against Martians, you know, often they're as much sort of having to sort of, so it sort of changes as it goes along in terms of what their mission is, whether they're fighting for chaos, whether they're fighting the Vulcans, or whether they're fighting the sentient planet of Mars, or whether they're just kind of basically being peacekeepers in the galaxy and sort of getting embroiled in the latest war. But you know, the constant is that, you know, is that they're trying to, they generally except in the times when Deadlock is leading the group, they're trying to do the right thing. And even when Deadlock's leading, you know, they're following a chaos crusade because it seems to be the thing to do to put the universe back in order.
Yeah, absolutely. And frequently they're putting the universe back in order despite humanity's best attempts to stop them doing it. So, you know, that's again what makes them interesting. They're frequently more human than the humans that they're pitted against. And I think that, you know, that's a core theme that goes through the ABC Warriors, and again this whole sense of they're machines but they've got free will, and they, you know, they'll use that to kind of make the best of things, you know. But at the same time, there's all sorts of interesting moral conflicts, and there's this that nothing's black and white. There's so much grey in what they're doing and why they choose to do it. And
yeah, and you've got, you know, characters that have suffered, like that suffered trauma, that you know, these, they're robots, but they can be tortured, they can be harmed, you know, and even sort of characters who get introduced and you think, oh, this is just a one note character, you know, like Mongrel, who's I guess the sort of remaining core member, who is, I mean, at various points, at one point he says that he's been called the Mess. Because of what is done to him, but you know, he's almost this sort of King Kong stroke Incredible Hulk sort of pastiche at the beginning, you know, going around saying things like Mongol Smosh, you know, and just sort of into mindless sort of animalistic destruction, and you know, and it's basically because he's traumatized by the loss of Lara, the human scavenger who sort of rebuilt him in defiance of the Vulcans, and sort of tortures to death in front of him, and he sort of devolves to this primitive state, and then at one point his body is changed and his logic circuit is kicked back in, and then he sort of gradually starts to sort of speak. He changes from being this sort of one note character and gets more of his memories back, but obviously his memories come back, then the trauma comes back as well. So you get all these sort of stuff going on with and various of the members that come and go. It's not a strip that's afraid to kill people off.
No, definitely not. But at the same time, I think they are survivors. Certainly the core five have been going because they've been in 2000 AD for such a long time. And they're kind of fighting. They do what they do, and they're doing it for thousands of years. They are survivors, kind of despite everything awful that happens to them. And
yeah. Well, we're thousands of years in the future, Rob, so, we can sympathise.
We know that feeling all too well. It's really difficult to kind of try and summarise the ABC Warriors, because it is, they've been going for so long, 1979, and a remarkable run of stories that's going, just keeps going. It's a very rich and varied tapestry of stuff that, as we mentioned, kind of interweaves into other strips in the 2000 AD canon, and constantly changing, constantly retconned. But it's great fun, and it's so rich that you really can just dive in and just enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's as much a war comic as it is a sci-fi comic, and it does that rogue trooper thing of being quote unquote anti-war whilst glorying in all the ultra violence at the same time.
Oh, definitely.
But given this is 2000 AD we're talking about, that's kind of a given to a certain respect, but. Pat Mills is a clever enough writer to realise the irony of that. I mean, this is the guy who wrote Charlie's War, so he understands a bit about how to write a war story.
Yeah, absolutely. A war story and an anti-war story at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love the ABC Warriors. I've been a fan of them since my great 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 granddad Bob sent me through some stuff in a reverse time capsule, some of his battered old graphic novel compilations of old stories like The Black Hole and Warriors of Chaos and things like that. As I say, it's an enormously rich backlog of stories that you can, I think personally, you can dive in pretty much anywhere and you get a fair feel of what's going on and the core dynamics within the group very easily.
Yeah, atomic, bacterial, chemical, but however you want to put it, it's great stuff.
It is indeed. So okay, Cyclomedia, have we given you what you need on the ABC Warriors?
Input insufficient. More data is needed for 2000 AD folder.
Oh.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Coast of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofff.com. Like us on Facebook as the A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at the A to Z of SFF.